And I want to bring you a message today on one simple word, and the word behold. John chapter number 1, if you would, if you can stand with me, it not be a hurt or hindrance for you. And I know some of you it's hard to get up and down, so I don't have a problem if you stay seated. But if you can, stand with me as we'll read just a couple verses together. John chapter number 1, the apostle here, or John the Baptist, excuse me, John has been preaching about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then the Bible said in verse number 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad, my friend, that when the Lord Jesus came, he came as the Lamb of God to take the sin away? My friend, not of the blood of bulls and goats, but thank God when he died on Calvary, his blood washed us pure and clean. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the singing. Lord, we pray for the power of God today. Lord, I pray for that one lost and undone in sinning in this service today, Father. They're on the brink of destruction. Hell is in their path. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will arrest that soul. And oh God, I pray that you drive the devil far. And Father, I plead the blood today. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. Save that one today. Lord, that one that's walked away from you, whose heart's grown cold without the things of God of a concern. I pray you'd rekindle the fire. Lord, give us a revival. Lord, across this country, what we need is some old-fashioned, Bible-believing, God-fearing people that'll fall on their knees and pray and grab hold of the throne of God and say, I'll not let go to you. Bless me. Father, I pray that for the upcoming election, Lord, I pray that folk would see the need of our country. It goes far beyond the White House. It goes far beyond the Democrats and Republicans, Lord. We need a revival of the saints of God. I pray, oh Father, I just ask today, may it begin even now. Let it start even in this service. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all that's done in Jesus' wonderful name. And we ask it for his sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open, if you would, please, as we look in the Word of God today. Now, the next day, the Bible said, John seeth Jesus coming. And the Bible said, he cried with a loud voice, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What I want you to see this morning, beloved, is the little word, Behold. It is used some 1,300 times in the Word of God. The word behold means to fix your eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care, to look upon, to see. It is used with an exclamation or to draw attention to something. It is used especially to announce things that are considered startling and important. It is used as the writers would, with an exclamation point, as we would say today, behold, look at that. My goodness, look yonder, as we would say in our vocabulary today, of something that would be startling, something that would be amazing, something that would stop and call your attention to. As we stood at Niagara Falls just a couple of weeks ago, as Brenda and I celebrated our wedding anniversary, as we stood and looked at the wonder and the beauty of God's creation, I could just say in my mind, behold what great things God hath done. When somebody walks an aisle and somebody gets saved, I believe the angels of God say, behold what great things the Lord hath done. And friend, this morning there's about five things in the Bible. I want you to see how the word behold gold is used. Number one, I find in Psalm 51 and verse number 5, the Bible said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." He goes on to say, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Friend, when it uses that word, "Behold," that takes all my pride away. Oh, listen, as David said there, David was not saying, "I was born out of wedlock." He was not saying, "I was born in a sinful relationship." But what David was saying, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." Every man that's ever been born, every woman that's ever been born, has been born into sin. There's not been but one perfect man. There's not been but one perfect person, and that was the lovely Lord Jesus. But you know, my friend, thank God for the little ones that sang this morning. But my friend, you know and I know that everybody in this room was born a sinner. You believe that? Say amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He said in Romans chapter number 3, "There is none righteous, no, not one." The best that I could do, the Bible said, "My righteousness are as filthy rags." Friend, may I inform you today that everyone sitting in this room was born into sin, and sin because of Adam, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we were birthed into sin. But I got the good news for you today. I'm glad that there was one born without sin. I'm glad there was one that walked on Calvary, or went to Calvary's cross. I'm glad there was one that was nailed in Calvary's cross and died for your sin and died for my sin. And because of his death, I can be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes all my sin away. Nothing but the blood. Folk today try to get converted by doing good works, by joining a church, by putting money in an offering plate. Honey, I got news for you. All those things are good, but they won't get you to heaven. It's by the precious blood. It's by the blood that was shed by the spotless Lamb of God that we can be saved. And thank God today that he died for me. He died for you. He took your sin upon him. He was beaten for you. He was crucified for you. What glory it ought to be for the child of God to say, "Thank the Lord for Calvary and the blood of Jesus." Oh, but I was born in iniquity, David said. My friend, can I illustrate it like this? Some folks have said, "Well, preacher," and I've talked to them, and they said, "Well, I'm a good person." No doubt you are. No doubt you're a good person. I mean, perhaps you don't drink, perhaps you don't cuss, maybe you don't do the evil things of this world, maybe you're not a drug addict, maybe you're not a prostitute, maybe you're a good person, amen. But being good will not get you to heaven. Being good, I'm always ask folks this, wouldn't it be a shame that being, if you could do good deeds to get you to heaven, and you don't know how many you'd have to do, but let's just pick a number out of the air. What if you'd have to do 5,645,000 good deeds to get you to heaven, and when it came time for you to die, you did 5,648, one less. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, wouldn't it be something if you trusted in a man's religion to try to get you to heaven? Wouldn't it be something for all those folk that have crawled up some staircase and kissed some fella's ring and prayed to some statue that can't hear? Wouldn't it be a shame they wake up in the devil's hell? Friend, I got news for you. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by his blood I can be made whole. It's by his death on Calvary that I've been redeemed. Hallelujah! I've been washed in the precious blood. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Every man sitting in this room today was born in sin. Every woman sitting in this room today is born in sin. All those little children standing up here, they need to be saved. Amen. I mean, you say, preacher, what about them that die before they reach that age? Friend, they're covered. Amen. I'm glad to tell you, as David said, here when his baby died, he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. I'm glad that, thank God. But when you reach that age, and I don't know what age it is, for some it might be 5 years old, for some it might be 6 or 10 or 12, I don't know. But when you know right from wrong, and you know about the blood of Jesus, and you know about heaven, and you know about hell, and you know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, that's when you need to get saved. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Don't wait till you're driving down the road one night and all of a sudden your car rings out of control. A friend of mine just told me a day or so ago about a lady who just died, and she was going 90 some miles an hour down a road, and her car went off and it flipped and rolled over several different times, and this woman went out into eternity. My friend, I got news for you. When she was driving, she didn't expect that to happen. Honey, I got news for you. Death is on your door. Death is a coming. But thank God, if you're covered by the blood, you can meet death and you can look death in the eye and say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? I'm glad. But David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. That takes all my pride away. That takes every bit of pride I've got and goes right down the drain. Number two, John 19, verse 5, behold the man. Behold the man. John 19, 5 and 6 said, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, behold the man. Oh, my friend, that day in Pilate's judgment hall, my Savior was beaten beyond recognition. That day in Pilate's judgment hall, my Savior was bruised for my iniquity. And that day in Pilate's judgment hall, when those Roman soldiers took their hands and reached up and grabbed the hunks of hair out of his beard and ripped them off of his face, and that day they took their hands and smote them across his face. And that day they took that crown of thorns, planted it on his head, and protruded out the side, and the blood came streaming down. And that day they took the cat of nine tails and beat his precious back until there was ribbons of flesh standing in the pool of his own blood. Oh, that day, and Pilate takes him out there before the people and said, behold the man. And the people said, crucify him. We don't want him. We'd rather have a murderer, Barabbas. We'd rather have an old murderer. We'd rather have him than to have the Son of God. But my friend, behold the man that takes all my sin away. I'm glad, beloved, that day that he stood before the crowd, he was wearing two things. He was wearing a crown of thorns. He was wearing a purple robe. And friend, I got news for you. That day he stood before the crowd, he was taking the sin of the world upon him. That day he was nailed in anger to the cross, he was taking the sin of the world upon him. That day when he looked up toward heaven and tried to find the smiling face of God and could not, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In his darkest hour, in the hour that he needed the Father the most, the Son looked up and said, Father, where are you? And God turned his back. You know why? Because, honey, he laid all my sin on Jesus. Past, present, and future was laid on Jesus that day. Can I tell you something? Every sin you ever will commit was laid on Jesus that day. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Every sin you've already committed was laid on Jesus that day. He was brought as a lamb before his shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. When Jesus died on the cross that day, when he was beaten on the cross and nailed in anger, thank God he took the sin of the world on him. Amen. Praise God. That ought to make a person have a running fit and just say, thank God. Listen, everything I've ever done in my past, everything I've done in my present, everything I will do in my future, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And thank God, behold, the man takes all my sin away. Amen. I'm glad he'll not remember one of them. Now the devil will. The devil will come to you and he'll say unto you, you know what? I got news for you. He'll come and he said, what about what you did last week? What about when you lost your temper? What about when you walked out and you got angry? And you're not much of a Christian, are you? No, sir, I'm not much. But thank God, I'm not perfect, but I am been forgiven. Hallelujah. I've had the blood been sprinkled, applied, washed in the precious blood. And now I stand justified in the sight of God just as if I had never, ever sinned by the blood. And that takes all my sin away. Number three, behold the man. Number three, behold the place where they laid him. Mark chapter 16, verse number 6. And he said to them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. That day that the two Marys came to the tomb, they were coming there to do the work of an undertaker. They came with spices to anoint the body to try to keep that corruption down. Don't raise your hand, but if you've ever smelled rotten in flesh, it is a terrible, terrible odor. If you've ever, I was called upon one time to go into the hospital. It was in the wintertime. And as I walked in that hospital room, the stench hit you in the face. A lady lay in the bed. Her husband would not consent to having her legs amputated. She was a diabetic. Her legs, the circulation had stopped and her legs began to die. The flesh began to die. Gangrene set in. He would not sign the papers to have her legs amputated, and they could not do anything. In the middle of wintertime, they had the windows open. The nurses had the mask on, decaying, rotten in flesh. Years ago, my neighbor died. Nobody knew that he died. His son didn't call upon him until about 10 days later. And when they finally did open the door, the stench rolled out of that house. My, what a terrible odor. As I stood out there in that yard, they had the crime scene investigators. They had the paramedics and all those folks. One of the men looked over at me and he said, I wish I had some Vic salve. I said, why is that? He said, to rub it up under my nose. He said, we've got to go in there and get that body. And I said, I've got some at the house, and went over there and got some. And they wrapped it on their nose. They went in there and they brought that man's body out. His rigor mortis had set in. He was stiff, and they had Kevin covered up. But the stench and the odor of decaying flesh. And here Mary and the other Mary came to do the work of an undertaker. And they had brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus to try to keep the stench down, to keep the odor down. And as they got to the tomb, they were greeted with the angels. And they looked in. They said, where is the body? Where have they taken him? And they said, don't be afraid, for he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. He's not here. He's risen from the dead. Thank God that, behold, it takes all my fears away. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I have hope beyond the grave. Because he lives, one of these days, all those that's been planted up under the ground will hear the voice and hear the voice of the Lord and come forth. Amen. They'll come out of the grave because he lives. It takes all my fears away. You might say, preacher, aren't you afraid to die? I'm not afraid. I'm prepared, but I'm not really ready to go today. If y'all getting a bus load up, I just soon stay here. Say amen. Amen. But when that comes my time, don't weep for me. As D.L. Moody said, I'll be more alive than I ever have been on this side. Amen. Don't y'all come by and say, look how pretty he is, honey. No, sir. I've never seen a corpse look pretty. Say amen. I mean, listen, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I'm glad to tell you, though, that when this old body turns back to the skin worms, when death sets in, when this heart stops beating, when I breathe my last breath, hey, I'll tell you one thing, glory to God, I'll not have any fear of where I'm going. Why? Because he lives today. Because he lives, I'll live also. Number four, behold the fowls of the air. Matthew chapter 6. The Bible said that the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples, and as they walked by one day, they got a little bit worried. In fact, well, to save time, I won't read it to you. But one day they walked by and they said, you know, Lord, I've been thinking about this thing. And you know, we hadn't passed any kind of convenience stores here lately. And I hadn't seen a McDonald's in a good little while. Lord, what are we going to eat? Some of you sitting here right now, your mind is what you're going to do in about an hour from now. Say amen. Hey, man. Some of you sitting here right now, you're thinking about that pot roast. You think about that country style steak and gravy and mashed potatoes and green beans. You think about that carrot cake. Am I making you hungry? Say amen. I mean, listen, and them disciples were no different. They walked by, and I believe one of them, their belly started growling a little bit. I believe they started churning a little around. I mean, they hadn't had no bacon and eggs, say amen. And they walked by and they said, Lord, we just got to thinking about this thing here. Where are we going to eat? And by the way, we hadn't passed no hotels lately. And where are we going to sleep tonight, Lord? And by the way, you know, these here, where are we going to get our next suit of clothes at? I'll answer that one for you. GW, amen. Hey, amen. They walked by and they said, hey, Lord, have you thought about us? I mean, listen, we ain't got nothing to eat and we're hungry and we ain't got no place to lay our head down tonight. We ain't got no comfortable bed. And Lord, we ain't got no brand new suit of clothes. Have you thought about that, Jesus? He looked over and he said, wait a minute, fellas, I got news for you. You see them birds over yonder? You see them birds? Why, they didn't have to do anything to eat. All they had to do was fly down there and get that grain. You see them birds? He said, you see them lilies out yonder? He said, listen, he said, if God so clothed the fowls of the fields and fed the fowls, he can do the same for you. And friend, consider, behold, the fowls of the air. If God can take care of a bird, don't you think he can take care of you? Amen. Amen. If God in his mercy will take care of that little bird out yonder. Yesterday evening I sat down for a little while and before one of them storms, all of a sudden Brenda said, look at all them birds out yonder, all them blackbirds. It was a field full of them. And you know what God was doing? I know what he's doing. All them worms didn't come up top of the ground and God said, dinner time! Amen. And friend, listen, when the fowls of the air, if they're fed and they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, he said, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they are? Amen. I'm glad that my heavenly Father, he knows what I have need of. I guarantee you that none of these little young'uns up here this morning, I guarantee you, Miss Gail, that they did not go home or will not go home today and sit down and wring their hands and say, I wonder where the money's going to come from to pay the power bill. I wonder, did Daddy buy enough groceries? I can't go to sleep. I'm just worried so much. Daddy, you going to be able to pay the house payment? Daddy, I'm just worried. No, not a one of them youngers is worried about that. Why? Because they don't worry about them things. All they worried about when they're going to get their next sucker. Say amen. And friend, why should you and I worry about the things that God said he'd take care of? He'd make a way when there's not a way. He'd provide a means when there's not a means. He would meet every need I had. Amen. Give me one more. I'll be done. Turn over Revelation, and I'll give you one more. Would you do that for me? Revelation 22. Behold, I come quickly. Here, he says in Revelation chapter number 22, and he said in verse number 7, behold, I come quickly. I believe the next greatest thing on God's time calendar is this, is the rapture of the New Testament church. Can I tell you something? There are churches today that no longer preaching about the coming of Christ, but you're looking at one fellow that still believes he's coming. You realize there's more prophecy about his second coming than it was his first coming, and you know he came the first time. Say amen. This world knows he came the first time. And friend, you cannot read this book, you cannot read this Bible without realizing that the Lord said the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. He said, behold, I come quickly. He said in 1 Thessalonians, he said to comfort one another with these words. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised. Thank God. Listen, the next greatest thing on God's time calendar is the rapture of the New Testament church. Say amen. The bride of Christ, the blood washed throne of God. One of these days, the trump of God's going to sound. The dead's going to be raised. The living's going to be changed. And we're going to be out of here. When he toots his horn, we're going to scoot out of here. Amen. I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. He's coming back again. The rapture is coming. And behold, that behold takes me away. Wouldn't it be great? Praise God, if the Lord was to sound that horn and all of a sudden we're out of here. Wouldn't that be something? I wonder how many would be left behind, though. I wonder how many would be left behind. You see, I believe this, my friend. Unless you're blood bought, if you've not saved, you won't hear the trumpet. Unless you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be left behind. You talk about it tough now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Can you imagine hailstones weighing over 100 pounds apiece falling from the heavens, crushing men, driving them right into the ground? Can you imagine trying to go to the water fountain and instead of getting a cup of water, getting a cup of blood? Can you imagine the wars? I saw on the news, did y'all see where that earthquake hit over in Iran? How many of you seen that? Some of you? There's going to be an earthquake that's going to hit over in Jerusalem. It's going to divide the city. I mean, listen, friend, Mount Olivet will split half in two. I'm not making this up. You read the book of Revelation, you'll find this to be true, that the Lord said that the day of his judgments are coming. God's going to pour out his judgment. Now's the time to get on board the ark. Now's the time to get in the ark of safety. Because, honey, one of these days, you may pull up in that parking lot out yonder, and it may be half empty. There'll not be a preacher standing in this pulpit. There'll not be a piano player. There'll not be any more gospel singing. There'll not be any more invitations given. You have missed the rapture. Thank God. Listen, when that trumpet of God sound, behold, I'm out of here. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for every blood-washed child of God. I know what Luke says and Matthew says about two in the field, and I believe that pertains. I've studied that, but it pertains to the second coming, but I'm going to apply it to the coming in the rapture. I believe there'll be a husband and wife. When the trumpet of God sounds, one will go out, one will be left behind. I believe there'll be airplanes. The pilot, when the trumpet of God sounds, he's gone. And that co-pilot, he's left for that plane. Trains derailing. There'll be planes crashing. There'll be mass chaos across this world. They'll rise to power. The Antichrist. You say, who is he? I don't know, and you don't know who he is either. But he is one who will mimic the things of God. People will think that he is God. He'll sit in the temple of God, proclaim himself as God, and all the world will worship him. Honey, when that time comes, you've settled your destiny. You're bound for a devil's hell. But I want to tell you one thing. I'm glad that the church of the living God's going to be gone. Say amen. I'm glad to tell you, I'm not one of them that believes that we're going to have to go through part of the tribulation, half of the tribulation, any of the tribulation. Thank God he took Noah, he delivered him through the ark. He took old Lot out before the judgment of God fall. And thank God for the church of the living God. We're going to be out of here before the judgment of God falls on this world. Amen. You say, what do you believe? I believe in the soon coming of Christ. Are you ready? Behold, I come quickly.